We are going to be in Philippians chapter 3 tonight, looking at Paul's pressing matter, so you can open up there to Philippians chapter 3. I will begin reading at verse 7 so that we get the flow of what Paul is saying. I probably should start at verse 1, but I'll start at verse 7. And what we will really hone in on is verses 12 and 13. That's where we will spend the majority of our time. But we'll pick it up at verse 7, where Paul says this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Now, he says that because just prior, he has been talking about the things that he had gained. And he's saying, "I gained those things, and then I lost them all for Christ." And now he's saying, listen, they don't mean a thing. All I want is more of Christ. So verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may," here it is, verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." He then goes on in verse 12 to say, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I have never in my life been one to make a big deal out of the new year, you know, New Year's Eve and New Year, the new year starting, and setting goals and those types of things. I always figured I'm going to fail anyway, so why even set any goals? But over the last several years, as I've been walking with the Lord, I have, as the year has started to draw to an end, and this year is no different, I've begun to examine myself and to question myself and to just to see where am I and where am I in regards to my relationship with the Lord. The older that I get, the less the other things and the other stuff, you know what I'm talking about, church? The other things and the other stuff, the older that I get and the longer that I walk with the Lord, the less those things mean anything to me. I've lived long enough now, and you don't have to live very long, but I've lived long enough now to see that those things tarnish, that they rust, that they wear out, that they're here one day and gone the next. And so those things have meant less and less to me over the years. And so what I've done is I've examined my life and thought about this past year, and that's what I'm doing now at this time. And so when I was asked to teach tonight, this Philippians chapter 3 passage is immediately where I went to. My mind was already there. My heart was already there. I was already self-examining. I think that that's a good thing to do. I've tried to encourage my family over the last several years, as I've done that, to do the same. It's okay to set goals and, you know, diet goals and, you know, whatever other kind of goals you might have. But what about the Lord? And where has your relationship been? What kind of condition has it been in? How did it start back in January? And how is it now? And what would you like to do different as far as the Lord is concerned? And obviously, the answer always comes back, well, I want to pursue Him more. I want to spend more time with Him. One of my big things, and some of my friends in here will know this, that over the last several months, as they've asked me, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" It's always been time management. Time management. I need to spend less time doing this on my phone and more time reading His Word, more time studying. I need to spend less time switching from soccer game to soccer game and more time studying His Word. And so this Philippians passage is where my heart went to. And Paul, actually, we didn't read it, but in verse 1, he started out. You know how Paul is. Here it is, chapter 3. There's still an entirely another chapter. But Paul said at the beginning of chapter 3, "Finally, my brethren." It makes it sound like he's bringing it to a close, which he wasn't. But you know how we are. "Finally, as the year draws to an end, what has my relationship with the Lord been like? And what would I like to see changed?" And I think probably the general answer from all of us, although we may have our specific areas, is I want to spend more time with the Lord. I want more of God in every area of my life, in every corner of my life, in every nook and cranny of my life, in every part of my life that is out in the open, and every part of my life that's hidden. I want God involved in every single part of it. I want Him to be at the center of it all. And so Paul he's saying here in verse 10, or rather verse 9, "I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness," he says, "which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And then he says this, so strange to us in verse 10, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Paul, and I will tell you that our pastor, John Miller, has an excellent study on this section. And while I was studying, I went over and listened to his on our website. And I thought, why do they need me there? Why don't they just replay his study from this section? But I believe that what Paul is saying here, he's not talking about salvation. He's not saying, listen, I just really want to be saved, and so I'm working really hard to get it. A simple reading of Ephesians 2 would tell us that is not the case. We're saved by grace, right? Saved by grace through faith. So that's not what Paul is talking about, but what Paul is talking about is sanctification. He's talking about a closer, deeper, stronger, more intimate relationship with the Lord, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul was saying, I want to know Him. I don't want to just know about Him, but I want to know Him. And it's okay to know about Him, but if all we have is knowledge about Him and we do not know Him intimately, then it's all a wash. It's no good. The goal is to know Him. And heading into 22, I don't know, I was talking with my son yesterday and I was saying, man, you know, I wonder, you know, we never would have known what was going to happen in 20 and then in 21, and now we're heading into 22, and man, what's going to happen? And we don't have a clue. Some of us are conspiracy theorists, man, and we've got it all mapped out. I'm not one of those guys, by the way, but I don't have a clue. And about the only thing that I do know, besides, I'll probably put on more weight, is that I really want to draw closer to the Lord. I really want to have a more intimate relationship with the Lord. And Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. That is not something that appeals to us. But what Paul was saying is, I want to know Christ in every aspect, in every way. What he does then in verse 12 is he tells us how to attain that. There are two main divisions in verses 12 and 13. Two main divisions. The first one, if you're taking notes, this is Paul's pressing matter. The first one is the matter. We will see that in verse 12, the matter. Also, if you're taking notes, when we get to verse 13, you'll see the method. So we're going to see these main divisions, the matter and the method. Now, we'll get some sub-points under each of those, just a couple under each. But that's what we're looking at here. Paul is telling us how to attain to that. What Paul is doing is he's revealing his secret to us. This is what was on his heart and his mind as he was considering his relationship with the Lord and where he had been and what he had had in the past and the things that he had possessed. And now as he's looking to the future, he's saying, listen, this is my desire and this is how it's going to happen. And so we want to take from Paul's secret here, and what we want to do is apply that to our own lives and our own hearts and our own relationships with the Lord. As we look at injustice, I mean, can you believe it? When we gather back together here Sunday morning, it will be an entirely new year. What happened? Right? It's already time to start taking out loans for next Christmas. It's coming quick. Those of us that are getting older, which is everybody, but you know, when you're young and tough, you don't think about this stuff. But those of us that have gotten older, that are finding gray hairs in the mirror and, you know, rubbing the mirror, like, what's that gray stuff on the mirror? Oh, wait, it's me. We can see that time seems to be moving faster, doesn't it? You know, when you're younger, it's slow. It takes forever. When is Christmas going to get here? When is my birthday going to get here? When is this special event going to get here? But as you and I have gotten older, we've realized something, that time is moving faster, it seems. We're watching our clocks and our watches and saying, you know, it seems to be the same amount of time, but for some reason it seems to be moving faster. And as we draw closer to the end of this year, and it's, as Joel was saying, it's just a mark on the calendar, really. It's just a mark on the calendar. But we use it to our advantage to say, yes, on this day, this thing happened. But as we draw closer to the end of this calendar year, and in just a couple of days, we'll be into this new year, and we're thinking about goals and all of these different things that we want to see in the new year, we consider what Paul says here, and we say, you know what, I want a closer relationship with the Lord. Maybe there are other things that you want also, and that's fine. But hopefully, and I'm praying, that your relationship, intimacy with the Lord, is at the top of that list. Verse 12, where we see our first main division, the matter, he says in verse 10, or verse 12 rather, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Now we'll stop there for just a moment, because this is where we get our first subpoint underneath that heading, the matter. And that is this, that I have not attained. I have not attained. You see, in order to desire a closer relationship with the Lord, more intimacy with Him, in order to have that desire to want to strengthen the relationship that I have with the Lord, I must first realize something. I need to realize a couple of things, but the first one is I need to realize this, that I have not attained. The longer that you and I walk with the Lord, we realize how much we don't know. We realize how much we need Him. The need for Christ goes stronger and stronger and stronger. If I am walking with the Lord, but I need Him less and less, something is wrong. You see, this is where that self-examination comes in. As I draw closer to the end of a year, am I feeling a greater need for the Lord? As I hear my friends and family talk about goals and, you know, New Year's resolutions, as I see people on my social media feed saying, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, it's going to be the new you in 22, you know, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make these goals, and I'm going to reach these things, and I'm going to work real hard. And as we see, you know, people buying their new gym memberships, you know what I mean? Those of you that are already going to the gym, I know how much you hate January. All those people come in crowding the place up, sweating on your machines. But as we see people around us saying, hey, this is going to be something new. I'm going to do this different. I must realize that I have not attained. I have not attained to what? I have not attained sanctification. That's what Paul's talking about here. It's not complete yet. The process is still ongoing. It's still ongoing. I've been justified by the Lord, but the sanctification process is continuing, and I need to realize that that continues on. And again, what should be happening is the longer that I walk with the Lord, the more I should realize how much I need Him, and the need for Him should be growing. He says, I have not attained, not that I have already attained. And this is Paul, the apostle, who some say was the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth. He says, I have not attained. And this is after about 30 years of walking with the Lord. And he says, I've not attained, or am already perfected. I've not attained and I'm not perfected. Here's the second thing that he does under this heading, the matter. The first one was, I have not attained. The second thing, because of that, he says, I must press on. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. He uses an athletic term here. Believe it or not, I used to be a runner. I used to be able to run. Not so much anymore. But Paul uses an athletic term here, and he's talking about running a race. When he says, I press on, it means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing to run after. Figuratively, of one who in a race runs swiftly to reach the goal. It is the picture of a runner. Paul seems to be very familiar with that athletic world. Whether he was an athlete or not, we do not know, but he seems to have witnessed it, at least on several occasions, it would seem, because it is a theme that he draws from often. And here he uses it again. He pictures himself as a runner in a race. And he says, I've not reached the end line yet. I've not reached the ribbon. There's still work to be done. There's still a distance to go. And so I press on. I continue running swiftly in order to reach that end. You see, Paul says, I want to be fully involved in the sanctification process. I want to be all about it. I want to run quickly, and I want to use up all of my energy. I want to expend all of my energy. I want to get there and have nothing left. I want to get to heaven. I want to reach heaven without anything left. Do you hear me, church? Like, I want to get there and have no resources left, no strength left. Crawl in because I gave it all while I was here. Because it's better to burn out than to rust out. I want to get there and have nothing left, having spent it all, invested it all for the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, but I press on because I haven't attained and I haven't been perfected. And there are some interesting words here. He says that I may lay hold. That is the word catalambano. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I just said it because I wanted to sound cool. It means to lay hold of so as to make one's own, to obtain, attain to take into oneself, appropriate, to lay hold of with the mind, to understand, perceive, learn, comprehend. In other words, he wanted to own it. He wanted to lay hold. Look what he says. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He uses the same word there for laid hold. It's just in a slightly different tense. It's still the same word, catalambano. But when it refers to Christ, it is of Christ by His holy power and influence, laying hold of the human mind and will in order to prompt and govern it. So Paul says, I want to lay hold. And essentially, here's what he's saying. Paul is saying, I want to possess all that Christ has for me. All of it. Not most of it, not some of it, all of it. And that is why, back in verse 10, he says, I want to experience everything about Christ. His death, his resurrection, all of it. I want all of it. What Paul wanted was everything that Christ wanted for him. Paul wanted that. Did you hear what he said? He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So Christ, he understood that Christ already had a hold of him. And that Christ wanted to pour into him and to reveal to him and to give to him everything that he had for Paul. And Paul says, I want the same thing. As we move into a new year, a new calendar year, you and I will not look much different. Things will not have changed drastically, maybe some of our habits, and I really do hope that you stick with them. But I want to press on. I want to lay hold of everything that Jesus wants for me. Everything. I mentioned the word appropriate. I want you to understand something here. Paul is not saying that, Christ, this is very important for you and I to understand. Paul is not saying that Christ, that there was more that Christ needed to give, that Christ had been withholding, and that there was more. Listen, I want more from Christ. You and I need to understand that we have all of the resources that we need from Christ. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, as a matter of fact. He said, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. It means ship shape. It means that you're ready to set sail. You've got everything that you need, but there is a matter of appropriation. Let me explain it to you this way. Yesterday, my son and I went out to Joshua Tree National Park. One of my favorite destinations, and I love it. I was talking about this yesterday. You know, you could drive out there just an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and you know, you can. It's just a day trip, and you can go out there and run around on the rocks and climb on things and find all sorts of things. And so we're out there at Joshua Tree National Park, and just we were having a blast. We had done some climbing and just hanging out. And then I said, well, hey, let's go over and look for this other thing. And so what we did was, as we started to move, if you've ever been to Joshua Tree National Park, you will know that there's not great cell service out there. And so it's spotty, you know, you can kind of get it here and there. And we were going out to this new destination, a place that I had never been to before. I love those types of things. Like, let's go find some place that we haven't found before, and let's go on this adventure. And so we started to drive out that way, and then I had the hiking route. It was just a short hike, but I had the route on this app. So it's on my phone. I've got this app, and I open up the app, and it shows me the route, and I say, okay. Now, the problem is cell service is spotty. Yes or no? Yes. So as we're getting closer, I'm noticing that, okay, it's getting kind of spotty. So as he's looking at the map, he took my phone, he's looking at the map, he did what I would have done. He took a screenshot of the route, okay? And so we get out there, and, you know, here we are, and he's going, you know, because we don't have cell service, and he's going, man, you know, this is kind of shifty here. Like, this is, you know, like we're doing this real simple hike that everybody, all the tourists are there. But then we're going beyond that to go find the hidden gem, you know? Because in our minds, you know, we're, you know, in some kind of adventure movie, you know, we're Indiana Jones or whatever, you know, whatever we were thinking. And so as we're making our way out there beyond the, you know, beyond the tourist spot, we begin to walk out and we're seeing these, oh, this is really cool, and seeing this. And I keep pulling up that map, the picture of the map. Now, obviously, you know, think about it for just a moment. It's a picture. So it's not showing me where I'm at on this map. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, let's see, it's a topographical map. I think that's a hill right there. I don't know. So yeah, let's go over here. And he's going, man, you know, I don't know. I'm not really sure. And it's like, yeah, this is dangerous. Let's do it. You know how guys are. This is really dumb. I know, let's go. And we're making our way out there. And it's like, I think the riverbed was back that way, right? So, okay. And it's like, I'm looking, you know, like trying to remember all my Bear Grylls episodes. Like, okay, yeah, the sun is back there. And okay, I say, all right, looking at things. And, you know, it did cross my mind a time or two. We could get lost out here. And there's no one else out here, you know, and you're just way back there in the middle of nowhere in Joshua Tree National Park. And so I'm pulling out this map, and then he says, you know, I think maybe we should go that way. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like maybe. And so we started to go up, and we got to this part, and I'm pulling out my phone again to look at the map. And then I realized something. I realized that the map on my app, you know, I don't have much cell service, so I'm looking at a picture. But in the process of trying to find that picture, I realized that my app was working. And it's like, hey, the blue dot is moving. That's me. I don't have any cell service. It says right there, no service, but the app is still working. And then I said to him, hey, the map is still working. He goes, are you kidding? I said, no, really. And by the way, we're off course. And so it's like, you know what? I think we got to turn down this way. And it's like, I'm keeping the thing open now. You know, I'm not even watching where I'm walking. I'm just watching this map. And okay, yeah, we're going this way. And we found our destination. I mean, it was literally halfway through the hike in the middle of nowhere. So church, I had the resources there. But I didn't know I had them. I wasn't using them properly. Paul said in Colossians that you are complete in him who is the head of all principality. You have everything you need. But many of us, and I would probably say all of us, just don't know it yet. We don't know all that we have in Christ. We don't know all of the resources that we have, and so we're not appropriating all. And so what Paul is saying is, he's saying, listen, I want to know all there is to know about Christ, and I want to know Christ, and I want everything that Christ wants for me. And I want the same thing, church. I want the same thing. He goes on to say in verse 13, where we get into our second and final main division, which is the method. He says in verse 13, he's about to tell us how to do that. Brethren, brothers, and I think it's safe to say sisters also, all of us. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, notice what he says in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I've not gotten there yet, but one thing I do. Now, this is funny to me because he says this one thing I do. And as I was reading through this, I thought this is funny. He said one thing, except he mentions two things. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, before we get there and explain that, let me explain this. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. It means to have forgotten, given over to oblivion. He then goes on to say, reaching forward, which means to stretch one's self forward. Again, I think all of us have probably seen a foot race, the 100-meter dash. And you see these individuals out there, men or women, some of you probably were runners and you probably did this. But as they're running and they're nearing the finish line, they're stretching their bodies forward, doing all that they can, straining every muscle. All four of my kids ran cross country, and my son ran track. I think three of my kids were involved on the, you know, with the track team, and I can remember going to their meets and things and their races, and I can remember my son near the end of the season, his senior year. You know, this is potentially his last race. And I remember the strain that he was under to, you know, as the gun went off and he's racing toward that finish line. I remember the strain and the look on his face and, you know, everything. There was nothing else mattered at that moment. Nothing else mattered in that moment. Some of you have been there. You're not thinking about your grandma up in the stands with, you know, nachos. You're not thinking about, what's on the other side. You're not thinking about your friend. You're not thinking about anything else. All that there is in that moment is that track. That's it. And you know that there are some individuals around you, but everything straining for that finish line. And I remember seeing that, and that's what Paul is describing here, stretching oneself forward. But why does he say this one thing I do? And then he mentions two things, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Because though it is two things there, Paul says, listen, they must be done simultaneously. They must be done at the same time. Forgetting those things which are behind and at the same time reaching forward to what's ahead. And so therein lies the secret that Paul is sharing with us. That you and I, as we are self-examining, as we are looking at our lives and saying, where am I at this point in my life? And what have I accomplished? And what do I want for the future? And where am I going? And what am I doing? And what is my relationship with the Lord like anyways? As I'm measuring all of that out and comparing and thinking through all of that and meditating on those things, I must understand that in order to reach forward to what Christ has for me, I must at the same time leave behind whatever was in the past. Now that's difficult for us. And church, 'tis the season for regret, isn't it? Some of you in here tonight have come in with a wounded heart because of some relationship that has gone awry. Some of you are feeling the pain right now because it's been the holiday season and you've not been with loved ones that you would normally be with. And regret, when we dwell on that, can lead to depression. And no doubt there are some in here tonight that are struggling with that, even tonight. And Paul says that in order for you and I to move forward and to continue chasing all that Christ has for us, that we must be willing to let go of the past. Now, let me explain something to you. Some things from the past are good. If those things compel us or push us to following Christ, then they're good things. It's not bad to remember everything from the past. Some of those things are very good because they push us to chase after the Lord even harder. But the writer of Hebrews described it as laying aside every weight and the sin, he said. He mentioned two things, the weight and the sin. Some things are weights. They're not necessarily sinful, but they weigh us down. And some of us have come in here tonight with regret, hearts filled with regret, heavy with regret. Because of something that someone has said to us and hurt us, or because of something that we said to them. Maybe some years-long fight. And we cannot even remember why it was that we were fighting in the first place. Some of us have come in here tonight alone because your spouse went home to be with the Lord this year. And now you find yourself for the first time trying to navigate the holiday season without your loved one with you. For some, it's sin. Overtly sinful. You've been involved in sin. It's taking root in your life. And you as a Christian, you've been struggling and battling, but you're doing it alone. And it's weighing you down. For some, it's choices that we have made over this past year. Things that we have done or not done. But we find ourselves in here tonight wondering how to move beyond those things that are holding us back, weighing us down. And what Paul is saying is, you must be willing to release those things. You must free your hand from those things if you are to reach forward to whatever it is that Christ has for you. I am not telling you to move past your loved one that passed away this year. I'm not saying, you know, just forget them and move forward. But what I'm saying is you cannot allow that to rule your life. And yet there are some in here tonight who have been doing that very thing. It's all that you think about. And it weighs heavy on your heart. And it pulls and tugs at you. And it keeps you from running swiftly toward Christ. You struggle with it. You at times have a hard time getting to church because you feel that dark cloud hanging over you. You just don't feel like getting out. You just don't feel like moving. You feel like just staying in that spot. And Paul says that you must release that and then you must reach for what Christ has. But you got to be willing to let go of it, church. You've got to be willing to let go of that. And maybe for some of us, it kind of feels like a place of safety. It's become something normal, something that we've gotten used to, something that's just kind of grown on us. You cannot move forward. You cannot reach for what Christ has without letting go of those things. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And so under the method, there are two sub-points. The first one is release. I have got to release those things. The regrets, the sins, the choices, the relationship issues, the hurts, and I must reach forward toward those things which are ahead. And it is one movement. It is not done separately, it is done simultaneously. That I let go of things as I reach for Christ, as I let go of hell and reach for heaven. As I let go of operating in the flesh and reach toward operating in the Spirit. But church, I have got to let those things go. And if you've come in here tonight with hurt, with a wounded heart, struggling over some relationship issue, something that someone did to you or you did to somebody else, or choices and all the different things, tonight is the night to let those things go, church. If you and I want to press on, if we want to run swiftly, then we must remove the weight. We must let go of it. And tonight is the night to begin healing, church. And tonight is the night for some of you. Tonight is just a day on the calendar, just like Sunday will be, or Saturday rather. It's just a day on the calendar. But for some of you, it is a monumental time. This tonight will be a monumental time because it will mark on the calendar, this is the day that I began to heal. This is the day that the Lord lifted those restraints from me and those hurts. And those weights. This is the day that I surrendered those things to the Lord and allowed Him to take those things so that I might move forward swiftly, reaching for all that He has for me. Church, do you want all that He has for you? Church, do you want all that He has for you? All of us do. All of us do. But there must be some surrender in the process. And so what we are going to do right now is I'm going to pray, and then I am going to invite some of you whose hearts are heavy with regret or hurt from the choices, from the relationships. Those of you that are believers, I'm talking to the Christians right now, to the believers. I'm going to invite you to come down to the front because I want to pray for you. Because I want this day, this night, to be a spot on the calendar that you can mark down. And I want this place to be a place that you can reference and say, you know what, I was there, I recommitted my heart there. My spirit was renewed right there. And some of you are nervous about this. Some of you are scared. You're wondering, well, what will my loved one think, or my friend, or these people around me? Let that go. If you want to reach for all that Christ has for you, let that go.